She told me if I spent one more dime down at that Bass Pro, well, me and her was finished, and I'd have to pack up all my camo and go. So I did what any redneck hunter would do. I got a brand new deer stand. I went and bought a new piece of land. I'm going hunting this weekend. And said daylight's dark. Hop in a tree, going rattle, rattle, grunt, grunt, snort, wheeze, and dopey for a big buck to ride home in the back of my truck. This is changing my luck. I got a brand new deer stand. I love it when they go on sale. Got them looking like a hay bale. Papa blinds and climbers too.
Welcome back, everyone. This is your handsome but yet humble host, Ray I, Peanut, the Vulgar Vogger, and Maddie G on a beautiful Saturday morning. You just heard some great music from my friend Kevin Blake Weldon, Funny Hunting Songs. You can go to funnyhuntingsongs.com or kevinblakeweldon.com and order some of his great music.
Hey, we got a special guest, a surprise secret guest in this next segment, and we can't tell you who it is yet, but we're going to be talking about brush carp, a little whitetail, a little intro for our guy. Anybody know who this guy is? Secret guest, superstar, deer hunter, techie hunter, mossy oak, code blue, night and hail, my buddy. I'd say I'd love him on the air, but he might blush. Going to talk a little whitetail. Let's go out and see the Stolzenheimer, Steve Stoltz. Good morning, Steve.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Ray and Chris.
How are you?
Everybody out there in radio land.
Out there in red, bumped my headphone. I didn't hear nothing but radio land, but I got an idea what you said. That'll work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning.
Happy to be on your show, Ray.
Always glad to have you, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. We wanted to get a whitetail brush carp specialist on this morning.
Well, as always, we're heading for the rut, and I think probably one of the biggest mistakes I made early in, you know, in the year we started Drury Outdoors, and back when you and I used to roam the Jefferson County woods trying to shoot turkeys with sticks and strings.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think you're still trying to do that.
Oh, yeah.
You don't try. You actually are successful. Unlike me, who missed a monster whitetail last week in southern Iowa. But I've been hunting North Missouri, southern Iowa, and deer moving, it's just typical weather-related. When it's cold, they move. When it warms up, they don't. You know, you can talk about moon phase. You can talk about the equinox. You can talk about everything under the sun. You know, the bottom line is, if you're not out there hunting, you're not going to kill anything.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, weather trumps all of that. What I have found for the listeners is that when it does drop off these little cold snaps, they can be very deadly for big mature whitetails, in particular on green food source in the evenings right before dark. I'm going to say 30 minutes to an hour before dark.
Yeah, the food source early. I guess they're getting all buffed up, getting ready for the rut, huh? Got to have that protein.
You know, it's amazing. Those bucks are ready as soon as they lose their velvet. They're ready to breed. They're ready to go.
Kind of sounds like me.
So that anticipation is built up. But what a lot of hunters have to realize is those big mature whitetails, I'm talking 3.5, 4.5, 5.5-year-old whitetails, they don't move more than 200-300 yards the whole day. They just don't move much. And so when you get a picture of a deer on a trail camera, as I think I sent you some pictures on the...
Yes, you did. I looked at them. Awesome.
Yeah. When you get pictures, you know, you get pictures like if you get a trail cam picture, say, at midnight, just say, on a warm night, when it turns cold, you need to be right close to that same exact location, because that deer is literally only a few hundred yards from his bed, and when it does drop off cold, they're going to get out of their bed earlier.
Okay. All right. How high are you putting your stands on these kind of setups on these food plots? Are you getting right on the food plot, or are you back in the woods a little?
Well, when it's cold, when it drops off cold, like we've had a couple cold snaps, I'm right on the food source.
Okay.
Because they're wanting to come to those food sources to check the doe activity and then check on scrapes?
Yeah.
You know, and that's a very good question, Ray. The fine line is how far back from that food source do you go this time of year to get on a big buck? And what my answer is, the last two evenings up in North Missouri and southern Iowa that I've had mature bucks on us, we have literally heard the deer get up out of bed, start thrashing around with his antlers, and then come to the food plot.
Well, they were close.
Bedded far.
Wow. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I guess a lot of that would depend on, of course, the time of year, but depend on the food source, where it's located, type of terrain, the type of approach there is for the animals to cover, and all those things. And I guess a hunter needs to read that sign and figure that out. The reason I brought up how high, the biggest question I get here on the show is how high do you put these tree stands? Because, you know, I went out with Rotten Randy one time, and I mean, he's in skyscrapers. I mean, you know, you got a duck flights of geese, and the fox squirrel comes by with an oxygen mask, and the flight attendant asks you if you want a drink. And for me, for bow, that's really too high, because your angle is bad for hitting the vitals of a whitetail. It's too steep.
I agree, and I apologize. I skirted that question, and the reason why is it's not a height issue. It's out of the line of sight, number one, of the whitetail. And if your tree is brushy enough to hide you, now you have to make sure you can still shoot out of that tree.
Right.
You still have to select trim, and here's the issue. Select trim. So many hunters want to go up a tree and trim everything out and trim enough brush to land a B-52 if they need
right.
to. And that,
that would
that
be vulgar
will
hunting that tree.
Here. They will notice, even up 20, 25 foot, they will notice branches cut. So you have to select cut so you can still, but you have to have that cover up there to hide your movement.
Right.
So my answer to that is, Ray, it doesn't make any difference if you're 15 foot, if you're 12 foot,
okay.
or if you're 20 foot, as long as you're hid good up in that tree. If you stick out like a diamond in a goat's rear, you're gonna be seen by a whitetail.
Right, right. Their height would depend on your shooting lane, being able to see the direction of travel. There's a lot of variables there. It's really a loaded question, but the main reason I bring that up is because hunters want to get so high, they're so afraid they're going to spook the deer, the big bucks are going to see them, that they get on that angle, and they're either going to miss or cripple a deer because they can't get into vitals because that angle is too steep.
And you're correct. And the higher you get, your shot percentages go down, as you said. So I agree with you 100%. I'd say most five-piece ladder sticks, and I say ladder sticks because I really am. So many
those
people
are
falling out of trees, tree stands, safety, and I am switching. The old man's switching the ladders to climb the tree stands, and I use portable ladder sticks. Five pieces would get you 20 feet, which means a platform will be about to safely get in a tree stand about 18 foot. So the answer to the question is I'm on average about 20 foot up,
okay.
but I'm always in a tree where I'm hid real well.
Okay, that works.
So as long as you're hid good, height doesn't make any difference.
Perfect. Any other tips?
Scent.
Yes.
Scent is working very well, and I'll tell you how. You can, you know, it's against the law to bait deer in Missouri, right?
Right. Shannon County knows that too.
Who?
Shannon County.
Shannon County.
Yeah. Go ahead. Inside joke.
Okay,
shouldn't do that.
For those conservation agents that are listening, it is against the law to bait deer, and by no means, you know, in states where it's legal, fine. I don't have an issue with it. But Missouri, it is illegal, and it is illegal in Iowa as well, and that's the two states that I'm keying in on here. And I think it's illegal in Illinois as well, for the Illinois listeners. But the bottom line is you can bait deer in legally with scent.
Okay.
And that's what I'm using. I'm using buck urine. I'm making mock scrapes at these food sources, and I'm putting a Code Blue's drop time scent dispenser, setting it on a setting where it just shoots out once a day, and putting tarsal gland on the licking branch, making it all work it up like looks just like a real scrape on
territorial.
All you listening know what a real scrape looks like. And then the bottom, the end tool is I put Gravedigger deer dirt, which is a waterproof deer dirt with buck urine in it.
Wow.
And I put it in the scrape so it keeps that scent in the scrape. And I've been literally baiting these bucks in to these tree stand sites with that scent. It's something that takes a little work. You got to go out every few weeks and freshen it up and keep it going. But those bucks start coming to it, Ray.
Yeah, I've been with you some years ago, and you've been doing this a long time, and we went and videotaped a setup like you do with the trail cam and your stand, and then you made a mock scrape. And, man, it just sucks them right in there. It's awesome.
It does.
Territorial.
Now, unfortunately, the morning that the buck we had come in wasn't a shooter. You know, it's not always going to be the case. So sometimes, you know, Mark Drury brought up a good point not too long ago. I was having problems getting big bucks on my trail cameras on my scrape sites up there. And he said, Steve, move your trail camera a couple hundred yards
yeah.
and make another scrape. And you'll be amazed what you might get. And he was exactly right. And it goes back to the beginning of when I first started talking. Those big, mature bucks don't move more than a few hundred yards all day and all night this time of year. Now, it's going to be different when we get in the rut. But right now, they don't move far. So you move that trail camera another 100, 200 yards, make a scrape again, you're liable to be amazed what you get.
That's awesome. All right, Steve, we're about out of time.
So the audience knows I'm hunting a deer called Picket Fence, which is a typical 10, probably will push the 170 mark. I'm hunting a deer called the Tall G3 buck. I'm not so sure if I would rather shoot that one. He's a big 10-point gargantuan brow tine.
Hope you get Picket Fence. I'm departing here with you. I'm telling you, I'm hunting a buck, too. We call him Hedge Apple because of the size of his sack, and that's the one that I'm hunting. You only hear it here on Eye on the Outdoors. All right.
Your
All right. You have a great day, Stevie.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Love you, brother.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, and thanks for having me on the show. Chris, take care. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, that's all for segment 7. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did bringing them to you. We got a little story time in the next segment, so we'll see you all on the other side.